We're going to read from the Bible now. We're reading 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 to 25. Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever. And this is the word that was preached to you.
Oh, good evening, everybody. Do keep your Bibles open or open them again if you possibly can. It's page 859. We're going to be looking again at that passage which Joe read for us for the next few minutes. Let me pray before we begin. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are a speaking God. And thank you that you choose to speak to us through the words of the Bible. Please help us to understand what we read and to hear your voice speaking to us this evening. Amen. Thank you. Can we have the questions up, please? We won't spend too long on this, but we talked about this around the tables, didn't we? How should Christians look different from other people? What did we say? Call out. Haircut. Perhaps.
Happier.
Happier. Okay, so we've had haircut and happier. Kinder. Okay. Humble. Did someone say humble? Well, how easy is this? What did we say? Not all that easy. What do we have over there? Not very. Okay, well, this is what we're thinking about this evening, about Christians and how we should be different. Can we have a picture up, please? You can see in this picture there is, I think this is the Paraguay end of a stand in a football game. There's a Brazil fan there standing out against the crowd. I went to watch a football game last season. I went to see Stevenage play Tottenham in the FA Cup, and I was it was at White Hart Lane, and I got there with my friends, and right at the start, Stevenage scored a goal against Tottenham, and we were sat in the Tottenham main part of the stand. My friend is a big Stevenage fan, and obviously, your initial reaction is you want to cheer, you want to sort of say, yeah. But obviously, all the people around you are looking pretty glum and not too impressed. So obviously, we didn't want to get beaten up. So we kept quiet. We sort of looked down and just sort of, you have to, and when Tottenham then scored their three goals and everyone else was sort of cheering, we just had to sort of hold back the annoyance and just sort of try and blend in, really. Try and fit in with the crowd. That's what we had to do because we didn't want to get beaten up. But how do we act as Christians? Are we the same when it comes to that? Are we trying to blend in with the crowd? Try to sort of sit back and hope we get by unnoticed in life? Or do we dare to be different? That's the title we've given this talk this evening. 1 Peter is a book written to Christians who are suffering for their faith. And it's full of great encouragement to keep going and living for Jesus no matter what. Ben showed us last time a helpful sentence right at the end of the book in chapter 5, verse 12. It sort of gives us a real clue as to why the letter's been written. And he says there, "I have written to you briefly, encouraging you and testifying that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." This letter is written to encourage Christians to stand fast, even when it's tough. And throughout the book, Peter keeps switching from reminding those he's writing to who they are as Christians, and then reminding them how they are to live as Christians, how they're to live differently because of who they are. And we need this same reminder today. So back in chapter 1, and the section we had read, verse 13 starts, "Therefore," which means we have to look back and see what comes before. And we've seen an upbeat song of praise, acknowledging God's grace, the Christian hope, the glorious future that follows suffering. And then verse 13 tells us what we are to do. "Therefore, because of this, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed." In verse 14, Peter reminds them they're obedient children, and then he tells them that this is how they are to live. Verse 17 has the "since, because of this, ... live your lives like this." Verse 22 is similar. "Now, because you have love for your brothers, love each other," it says. And we need this same sort of reminder today, because it's only as we remember who we are in Christ, who God is, how he has worked in us by his grace and changed us and made us new. It's only as we remember this day by day that we will want to live lives that honour and please the Lord Jesus. Lives that are different. The Christian life is lived in response to God's grace. And that's what these verses are all about. We're to live differently, not in order to win God's approval. We already have that because of Jesus. We're to live differently because of who we are as Christians, because of God's grace to us. And we're going to see two points to see. My first point, I've called "Live Differently." The way that you and I are to live as Christians is different from the world around us. It begins there with our minds, with thinking and taking a conscious decision to live for Jesus. It involves self-control, not living to please ourselves, but actually living to deny ourselves. Have a look with me, verse 14. "As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance." The way we act is different from the desires we naturally have. Last week at the baptism service, we heard different stories of how people became followers of Jesus. Some people had a particular moment when they came to understand and respond to the gospel for the first time. And from that point onwards, as we grow as Christians, we do get better at resisting certain sins, because God is in the process of making us more like Jesus. But we'll always find it a constant struggle. There will always be our sinful nature, which desires things which we know are wrong. And Peter's saying we need to fight these desires and resist them. Do not conform to the evil desires you had. Verse 15 then puts it another way. "Be holy in all you do." Holy doesn't mean odd, I mean, a different haircut. It sounds quite a sort of religious word, doesn't it? But it doesn't mean we need to sort of live as a monk or a nun or something. It just means, holy just means different. It's the character of God who is set apart, different from us, totally pure and perfect in every way. And we're to strive to be different, like God is different. This will involve, verse 17, living as strangers here in reverent fear. Christians should seek to be different, reflecting the character of God. So we will be strangers to a world which mocks God, to a world that thinks God is pointless at best, and often intolerant or unfair. We're to be strangers in the world we live. We're to stand out as different. And verse 22 spells out what this will look like. Just have a look at verse 22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. We're to be characterized by our love, both love for God and especially here, love for others. And this isn't the sort of love where we know we'll get back what we give. It's not love where there's something in it for us. It's loving each other, even those we don't naturally get on with, those who irritate us perhaps, loving deeply from the heart. Not a superficial love, but a true, deep love that puts others' needs before our own. Love that looks to build others up. Sacrificial love. It's God's love to us, overflowing through us to others. The Christian life, then, is countercultural. If you want to blend in with everyone else, and if you want an easy life here and now, where you'll be popular, well-liked, accepted, then don't become a Christian. Because Peter is going to tell us that the Christian should expect a life of suffering, a life like Jesus led. We've got some pictures on the screen. There you go, peppered moth caterpillar. See if you can spot the creatures there. The next, where is this? Well, it's pretty hard. See if you can work it out. Let's have a next one. Grasshopper there, and how they just camouflage to blend in with their surroundings. And the next picture, jumping spider. Again, very difficult to see because they blend in. Next one, and the leopard there. Can you see them? So many animals are sort of formed in a way and act in a way that just camouflages, that blends in with their environment, with their surrounding. Well, a Christian is called to be different from the environment in which they live, living distinctly, holy lives, set apart, being people that glorify Jesus in all we do. Now, I've gone straight for the what we do part of the passage, and it's interwoven with why and how we are to live like this. So I want to now switch and think about how on earth we can ever succeed in living differently. I heard about this test where they were carried out on a group of 10 teenagers. And they were in a room, they were in a sort of classroom setting. And they were told it was to test their eyesight, whether they could see things at the front of a room from where they were sitting. And what one person didn't know is that the other nine had been primed to give, when they were held up, a load of five different lines of letters. The other nine had been told to say that the line, which was clearly the second longest line of letters, was the longest. And the person doing the experiment would point to the different lines and would ask people to sort of say put their hands up, which line of letters is the longest. And in nearly every case, the one person who the test was being done on went along with the other nine, even though it was quite obvious that the others were wrong. Very rarely did they stand up and say, actually, the others, no, you're clearly wrong. And how much easier is it for us to go along with the crowd? Living differently isn't easy, but it is what's involved in loving and following Jesus. And there's great motivation in this passage as to why Christians should and how Christians can live differently. So this takes us to the second point, how to live differently. And I've got three ways up there in which we can live differently, which are here in the passage. Firstly then, look forward. Verse 13, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. We are to look forward as we think ahead to the future grace that we'll receive when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world as King and Judge, the day when Jesus returns. We were singing about it in our last song. We're not just to think about the future and the return of Jesus, but we're to fully set our hope on it. It's a hope in Jesus and the reality of his return that will motivate us to live differently now. Peter's already spoken about this future hope in verse 4, chapter 1. We saw last time, he talks of an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. It's a pretty good future. It's pretty amazing. Jesus will return to make all things new. So look forward to it. It's reality. Hope here doesn't mean a vague sort of hope. I hope Jesus will return. We're not really sure. We think he might. No, it's a certain reality of the future that motivates us to live each day. We often need the end goal in a particular project at work or school to get us through it, to motivate us. We'll keep going with this, even though it's tough, because we know what's in the future will make it all worthwhile. Whether it be working hard for an exam to get into university, or working hard in the office because some promotion's in sight, or working hard to get your baby in a routine because the thought of those nights with some sleep motivates you, one we know from experience. But that's it, isn't it? Fixing your eyes on the goal is what will motivate you and will enable you to live differently in the here and now. So that's looking forward. Secondly, looking up. Have a look down with me from verse 15. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. So to live a distinct life, a holy life, we need to look up and see our God as a holy God who is different. We're to be holy because that's what God is like. So we need to keep looking to God. We need to study what God is really like. And we see this throughout the Bible. We need to know God, verse 17, as our dear Father who loves us deeply, who cares for us, who watches over us. And we need to go know God as the one who judges everybody fairly, a God to be treated with reverent fear. I love this bit in The Lion, Witch and the Wardrobe, which I think puts it really well. I have used it before. It puts so clearly what it means that God is a God to be feared. And Susan, one of the girls, she discovers that Aslan is a lion. And she said, oh, said Susan, I thought he was a man. Is he quite safe? I shall feel rather nervous about meeting a lion. That you will, dearie, and make no mistake, said Mrs. Beaver. If there's anyone who can appear before Aslan without their knees knocking, they're either braver than most, or else just silly. Then he isn't safe, said Lucy. Safe, said Mr. Beaver. Don't you hear what Mrs. Beaver tells you? Who said anything about being safe? Of course he isn't safe, but he's good. He's a king, I tell you. And I think of that line, of course he isn't safe, but he's good. It just helps us to see what God is like. God is holy, and we must approach him with reverent fear. Sometimes we forget what God is like. If we're serious about living for him with everything and daring to be different, then we must look up to God and remember that he is all-powerful and holy. He's the king of creation, the Lord of all. Not someone we can just sort of be flippant with or speak carelessly about. God is God. And it's only as we get to know him that we will want to be like him and be able to be more like him. So look forward, look up, and finally then look back. And I want you I'll give you something just to chat about on your tables for a moment. And the question is, how does looking back here motivate us to live differently for God? Let me just read verses that I think help. So just from verse 18. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Just spend 1 minute on your table. How does looking back here motivate the Christian to live differently, to live for God? Well, I said a minute. I think you've had about two. So, sorry to interrupt your conversations, do carry them on afterwards. So we've been redeemed. That means a ransom price has been paid for us. The price, it says, was not silver or gold. All the best riches and treasures in the world is nothing compared to what was actually paid for us. What was paid for us doesn't perish like other things. It's described as imperishable. It's the precious blood of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, chosen from eternity past, it says, revealed now as the word of God is preached. When Jesus went through so much for you and me to pay for our sin and to free us for a relationship with God, then how totally selfish and ungrateful we are if we go on living lives that put ourselves first and ignore God. It is our sin that Jesus died for. If we have accepted this truly, then surely the only right response is to offer up our lives in service to God and to dare to be different. Different in our words, our actions, our thoughts, and our love. And I think just if you flick over chapter 2, verse 24, I think just sums this up so well for us. Chapter 2, verse 24 says, he himself, Jesus, bore our sins in his body on the tree so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. So what a motivation then to live differently. We're not to live a different life because we think we can somehow impress God or win his favour. Don't bother trying. You'll only end up doing things out of guilt And you'll never win God's favour by your actions anyway. The only way is to trust the complete, finished work of Christ on the cross for our sins. It involves receiving the new birth that comes as the Spirit comes upon us through the Word of God. And then, because of who we are as God's chosen people, we will want to obey. We'll want to be different, living as strangers, putting Jesus first in all we do. I guess each of us has different things to bring before God this evening. But let's prepare our minds. The battle to live for Jesus begins in our mind. There's huge motivation to live for Jesus. But it takes us to look forward to that great day when Jesus will return. To look up to the Holy God, judge of all. And to look back to Jesus' death and resurrection. And to remember God's astonishing, costly love. Dare to be different, living in response to God's grace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we have so much to thank you for. And we thank you so much for all your grace to us. We remember that you are a holy God. We look forward to the future when Jesus will return and when we will be made new, when we will live with you in your new creation. We look back to all that Jesus has done for us on the cross. And our prayer is that we will live differently because of your grace to us. So help us to live lives that honour and glorify the Lord Jesus in all we do. Amen.